Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
For this episode, our special Halloween episode, we are going to be talking about a standard favorite topic for Halloween for many people. We're going to talk about ghosts and spirits and such. So Donald, why don't you start us off on the topic?
They're scary. Very, very scary.
You say that because you've encountered?
No, I don't know. Been scared by one? When we're talking about ghosts, that puts a whole nother image in my head than actually the departed, which is a whole nother difference between those entities or energies that are non-corporeal entities and energies. So it's kind of like I have different flavors with those different terminologies that I've never actually put together. So it's like ghosts. I think Casper and like Pac-Man, the ghosts that you go around and go, rah, 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 rah. And then, of course, you say the departed. So it's like, okay, I've run into those, and in different places, that's kind of a very eerie kind of feeling of, okay, like you just walked into a room and there's a lot of tension. It's just like, this is very interesting. And then the one where they've never had a body or anything, that's just kind of like, okay, whatever. So when I say scary, I'm playing around a little bit with that, where it's taking more on the actual ghost of people who have died, and there's part of them that are still hanging around. So
you're talking about like hauntings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, I don't know. Ghosts are kind of one of those topics that I'm just sitting here, that I'm just go with. I'm like, I really don't know much to say. I have my own beliefs and ideas of them, but I don't really, you know what else to say when people say, so what do you think about ghosts? They're ghosts.
Well, you have your own ideas and beliefs about them. What are those ideas and beliefs?
People that pass are able to, part of their energy, part of their soul, part of their intelligence is able to stay around afterwards. My views are very, very mainstream, where it's just like, okay, yeah, if you pass on and you have unfinished business, then that could be a reason why a part of you stays. If you had some kind of huge emotional or traumatic event that, you know, caused your death, that could be one of the reasons why you stayed. Just all these different things that you hear all the time of a 3-year-old girl was playing out in 1812 and out there by the river, and she passed on, and now she, you know, still plays out there sometimes, and it's just like, okay. And then, you know, you can go to a bar, and oftentimes I think in England and New England states, and it's just like, yeah, apparently there was a brawl and this guy died, and apparently people say that he still hangs around. And but that's my take on it.
Yeah.
How about you?
I've never been on a ghost hunt. I mean, I'm not really into the whole ghost hunting thing. They don't bother me. I don't think if I was at somebody's house and they're just like, you know, and it was a party and they said, well, you know, we're all going next door to do a ghost hunt, I wouldn't sit in the house by myself and say, you guys go, I don't want to go. So I'm not opposed to it. I mean, I would go. The idea doesn't disturb or frighten me. It's just, I'm not really into that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like some people, you know, are just not really into basketball or, you know, clothes shopping or something. As far as ghosts go, I find it very interesting, the idea of ghosts and the idea of haunting and the idea of spirits that have not crossed over. That kind of thing I do find interesting.
And why? Why do you find that so interesting?
Because what interests me is just the idea that there are the essence of a person's, the spirit of the person. In other words, the part of the person that still goes on even though the body is done, you know, because I that's my belief. You just continue on, but you just shed the body like a snake sheds the skin. But were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. Do you believe that the whole person, their whole spirit stays? Or for me, I believe that there's kind of like a picture of that personality at that moment that stays, as opposed to the whole person.
Yeah, I've kind of thought about that, and I do think that there is a degree of that my own personal belief. I don't think it's an all or nothing game. The best way I can say is there's a lot of people who believe that ghosts are there because they haven't gone into the light, as it were. As far as I'm concerned, when you go into the light, that is the soul's realization of its interconnectedness with all things. And then pretty much the all of you goes into the light, and then the all of you kind of understands your part in the universe and can interact with it in such a way in spirit. The ghost is, to me, is a similar idea of soul fragmentation, like when you talk about when people have suffered trauma and they say that there's a part of their soul that is left in the past or is left in that incident, and it requires, say, a shaman or some other type of person to do a soul retrieval. I think it's very, very similar to that. I don't think it's exactly the same, but I think it's very similar to that. I think it's the aspect of that particular person's awareness that is still intangible. So, in other words, they're kind of tethered. I don't believe that their soul's completely crossed over, because the part of them that is not haunting is really just kind of in a really stuck place. They're so tethered to this plane that they're not able to function in the true way that spirit can really function, which is on a very multidimensional level. And that's kind of my theory on ghosts,
So
or as what
they're
they are.
kind of in a purgatory type area where they have one foot still connected to the physical plane and one foot in the spiritual plane.
I think it's more so that they don't they they're connected to the physical plane to the degree that that's where they have still carry their identity. They don't identify themselves as spirit, as it were. They don't allow themselves to be absorbed into the essence of all that is and become part of it and function in that way. As a result of that, it's almost like being kind of disconnected in a way. So when the part of them that really is part of source, they're just not aware of, they don't have the awareness of. And so they're, in a way, severed from the source, from the light as it is.
Ah, gotcha. And do you believe that they can get caught up in the trauma where they don't realize that time has passed or anything like that, and they're just stuck in that little framework of time that where they actually had passed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There have been reports from people who have had communications with ghosts that the ghosts get very, very upset when you tell them what day it is. They get very upset because, once again, they're not physical, so they don't have an awareness of time passing. To them, it just seems like it's kind of this persistent moment, but just things don't seem to make a lot of sense because things are kind of odd and weird.
That's because they didn't renew their subscription to their, afterlife calendar.
Oh, they get kind of re-upped, as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Like Columbia
exactly.
House Music, get 20 years of calendars for just one penny.
Does Columbia House still
I
exist?
don't think so, but it might. I don't know.
Yeah, I like those magazines where you know, Ladies' Home Journal, you end up getting subscriptions to it when you resubscribe to it when you never even ordered it in the first place. Because when you played for a football team, the left tackle, they thought it'd be a joke to send the center a subscription of Ladies' Home Journal, and here you are, at the age of 52 with blown out knees, getting Ladies' Home Journal in perpetuity.
And they follow you everywhere. You could be in Antarctica on a,
Exactly.
scientific research team, and it might be a few months late, but you'll still get
Yeah, so I think Ladies'
it.
Home Journal is kind of the ghosts of magazine subscriptions, or ghosts are the Ladies' Home Journal of the ethereal existence, I guess, as it were. So, no, I do believe there's lots of ideas of it. There's a We'll go through the kind of crash course of my understanding, and I whether I, how much of this I subscribe to, I don't know, but this is kind of what's out there that people like to tell you, especially the mediums, is that you die and you kind of hang around for a little bit and you kind of wait it out, and usually you hang out until there's a service of some sort for you. And once they've had the service, you kind of kick off and the light comes and you're welcome to go into the light, and you're called into the light, and you've got family members there really helping to say, you know what, it's all good. Let's just come on over. You know, you don't need your ticket, so don't worry about it if you lost it. And there are people who, for myriad of reasons, will not go into the light because it is choice. Because, you know, free will is what we have, and that is inviolate. And so the free will, for some, persists for several reasons. The little kids, they just don't realize that they have passed. They're kind of seem to be stuck there, or that they just don't realize it, or they've got an attachment to a parent or of some sort. There's a lot of fear that can tether and hold people down. There are people who will not leave another person. They are so in love with another person, they don't realize they can still be with them if they're on the other side, if they go into the light. They're too associated with something physical. Another idea is that the people have not lived a very good life. They've not made very good choices, not made very good positive choices towards other people. So when the light comes, they're like, if I go into the light, I'm going to get judged, and I'm going to probably be sent to some place that I don't really like. You know, like a, I don't know, some cannery of some sort.
In Detroit.
But in Detroit, of all places, yeah. So they'll get sent to Detroit, and they're afraid of that. So they...
apologize to anybody who lives in Detroit.
Yeah, I know. We probably lose Detroit listeners probably once every couple of months.
You know what? You know, I think this is like the third or fourth time I've brought up the whole Detroit thing, and that comes from a movie I saw years and years ago where that
Kentucky
was...
Kentucky Fried Movie?
Yeah. I wasn't going to say the movie, but you know it.
I know the movie, and it's a classic line. It's actually kind of funny. But there's some nice places from Detroit, from what people have told me. Actually, I knew a guy from Detroit, and he said Seattle reminded him of Detroit with less burned-out buildings. I'm like, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Seattle would be the still-alive version, and Detroit would be the passed-on but still-hanging-around version?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Detroit was the ghost of Seattle or something. But, I mean, I don't know why we're going on
about
Detroit.
I have no idea either.
You know what? I do want to see Detroit sometime, you know, because I like to really kind of be able to speak positively on anything like that. I'm sure there's great parts of Detroit.
So. I do have a friend who lived there for a while, and she became an avid photographer just before she left, and she actually has some really good pictures of Detroit in the stadium. I was impressed, and I don't know if
you
was...
You mean the stadium where the Lions play?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know how much I was impressed by the actual stadium itself or her actual perspective of, you know, the shot that she has taken and some of the other photographs that she's taken from around Detroit. And I was just like, wow. 'Cause she does have a good eye. And so... You know,
just one?
Yeah, what's that?
Just one?
Yeah. No, she's not a cyclops. She
is. I don't know why I just hit up on that.
You're
one.
Calling my friend cyclopses now, dude.
No, I was just asking.
No, but yeah, she has an exceptionally distinct eye that can see things in a very unique and beautiful way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, artist objectives, though. But with those that have passed on, you'd said that from the mediums that you've heard and that you've talked to, that there's kind of like they stay around for the service and then they're off and then they can still communicate after the service. And I've never really understood exactly, you know, when the point of, okay, we're still, spirit is still here on this plane, and then they decide to go on. So when you said that, I was really surprised and made me start thinking back to my grandmother, who I was not able to attend her service due to geographical and financial situation at the time. But I did feel her, and I actually could almost kind of talk to her, not like you and I are talking, but I just knew that she was there. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I spoke, she would hear me, and I knew that she was able to communicate with feelings. For about, I think, 3 or 4 years, you know, on Halloween, this being the Halloween special, you know, I basically got this very special candle, and I lit it throughout the whole night for, you know, remembering from remembering her specifically. Mm-hmm. And basically it was her candle. And then after about 4 years or so, I was getting ready. It's like, oh, it's almost Halloween. Get the candle out. Get ready. And, you know, and then it was just like, no, you don't need to light the candle anymore. You know, in my mind, I asked, well, why? The answer that I got was pretty much, she's gone. Let her rest in peace. And whenever you send thoughts and emotions, remembering them, it's kind of like drawing them here. And out of courtesy, they're not going to be mean to their loved ones on the other from the other side. But the whole impression I got was, look, I got things to do. Thanks for you know, remembering me and everything, but move on. So that was kind of like the whole feeling I got. And that's why when you were talking about when they actually leave and everything and move on to the next realm or whatever, I was just like, huh, well, did she actually come and visit before she went there, or did she actually just go there and then come back afterwards, or both? And
well, see, that's where I think it may seem a little confusing, because when you cross over to the other side, then you go through the whole life review process, and then you kind of go through the healing process and all those other things that you go through. They don't really reside in time, even though they, for us, we would try to put a timeline in it. For them, there's not really a timeline, because time is not really a factor for them per se. From everything they said is, before you go into the light, before you cross over, the spirit tends to just find itself in places, usually kind of near loved ones or near where there's a gathering that involves them and their name. And they find themselves kind of drawn or pulled to those areas. You know, they just, you know how in a dream you just kind of all of a sudden you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing for them. There's many times where people will talk to people who are on the other side that says, yes, I was there at the service. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. I was there at the service. I was there at the service. And many services I go to, I can feel the person there. You know, my sense of people who've crossed over is not that kind of, I see them standing there and they're wearing a beautiful blue jacket. You know, I don't have that. I'm not a visual person that way.
I see
just
dead people.
Yeah, I don't see dead people. I don't. If they're dead, I may see a dead body that's sitting in the casket, but I don't see dead people. I mean, I just get the sense that they're there. There's just, it's a sense. It's a feeling, mm-hmm. You know. And don't, James Randi, don't ask me to prove it, because I really don't care what you think. So whatever. This is my belief. I'm holding on to it. Anybody else can think whatever they want. But and invariably, in every service that I've gone to, I usually go off by myself in a very private place during a service, which is not easy to do, but I find a way of doing it, and I have a conversation with the person, especially if I knew them, or if I was close to them, or if they're family or something. And I have a conversation and talk about, I usually thank them for the time that they had with life and all that other stuff. And then there's a different feeling of communicating with them there at the service than after, than maybe, you know, a month later. It's just a different feeling. Mm-hmm. There's something really thick and tangible about, it's like that person's memory has heft to it, if that makes any sense. Where the person's memory later on doesn't necessarily have heft. It can at times, but it doesn't necessarily. And I think when you cross over, you understand how accessible everybody is. You understand how easily you can move through realms, through, well, let me not say easily. Let me say that how you understand the different ways that you can affect this material plane. The ghosts, it's a little different. I think it's kind of similar to the movie. What was the name of that movie? I'm trying to remember.
Which one?
It was about a ghost and...
Oh, well, that narrows it down.
Well, it's the... Okay, it was a movie about a ghost and a guy who had died and became a ghost. And his ghost was trying to communicate with a loved one.
Oh, Ghost.
Thank you. That's the movie, Ghost.
With Patrick
Swayze.
And,
yeah, with Patrick Swayze, Ghost. Yeah. Okay, I don't know why I couldn't. Yeah, so
what's
anyway.
That movie about a ghost? It's
what's
not
the movie
ghost.
About the ghost?
Oh, yeah, it's Ghost. Ghost.
I can't recall the name. It just eludes me. And there was the guy, Vincent Scarpacci, or Scarparelli, I can't remember his name, the actor. He's since gone to the other side, but he's kind of has the droopy eyes, and he's done a lot of bit roles. He was the guy who lived on the subway.
Okay.
And remember how he was showing Patrick Swayze's character, who's once again also on the other side, how to push things and affect things physically. Do you remember that?
I remember the scene in that part of the story, but I can't get a picture of the guy's face.
Yeah, you don't need
it. Talking about.
You wouldn't want it. He was not the most handsome man in the world. Trust me on that. I think that there a lot of ghosts eventually learn to do that, and the power of ghosts is really interesting. That the ghosts, because of the reason that they're kind of tethered here, a lot of oftentimes it's sometimes the negative things that kept them there, that they're heartbroken over something, or they're angry over something, or they just were hateful people that are afraid, that they just kind of reside in this non-space until there's enough energy that they can resonate with to actualize their awareness in this realm. Their awareness has nothing to do with us. It's kind of like this stillness, you know what I mean? It's like this empty house that nobody's in. Even though people are walking in the house, to the ghost, it's kind of this negative, this empty realm, this non-place where nobody ever comes. And then when there's a certain amount of energy that resonates with the same frequency that that person's spiritual energy is on, they start to recognize and they start to feel, they almost feel alive in a way, you know what I mean? So when people are arguing and fighting in a house, for what would be a negative ghost, that is negative energy, and they all of a sudden can interact and feel the realms around them. And so then they start to want to participate, and they start to find ways to try to encourage these people to bring up that same emotion or that same kind of energy that resonates with them. And that's why you get these things like hauntings and poltergeists and things happening in houses that there are no explanations for.
So basically what you're saying is some ghost with a chip on their shoulder gets their drug hit of negativity in their area. And their...
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like a hit. It's kind of like negativity. Yeah. Have you ever been in a place that seemed haunted or had paranormal activity like that?
Oh, yeah. There's a place where I used to live when I was in Huntsville, Alabama, where there's this huge drainage ditch that goes down south Huntsville. And anyone from Huntsville that's listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's probably about 20, 30 feet wide from shore to shore, give or take. There was a little bit of undeveloped pathway or path that went behind some trees that were, behind the yards, behind the houses that lived close to this area. Well, what they did is they developed part of this into a walkway. This walkway went, I think, 2-3 miles, something like that, a round trip. Well, at this time, every so often, I enjoyed walking at night because it was calm, it was quiet. I could actually feel like I could talk to the trees and talk to the wind, or at least have some kind of a relationship with them. When they had first gotten that all taken care of, I remember I decided, hey, we could walk down the greenway in the middle of the night and see what that's like. And there's part of me of saying, like, ooh, the excitement of walking in a non-lit place in the dark and everything sounds just exciting. Yeah, let's do that. So I started walking down, and after you get down a little ways from where I started from, there's this place where it goes over a bridge, just a very, very small bridge, 7-8 feet long at the most. Well, from the direction I was coming, there's this bridge, and then off to the right, there's a whole bunch of trees, and then off to the left is the drainage ditch. Well, I remember I was walking down there. I was like, this is cool. The moon is out. I can actually still see where I'm walking, and this is just kind of exciting. I got to the first part of that bridge, and I was like, we're not going across this bridge tonight. And, my brain sat there, and I was just like, why are we not going across there? And I was like, there are just hundreds and hundreds of eyes in those trees over there, and I can see them. And a couple of them I could actually physically see. And I was like, there are some red eyes or some green eyes or some yellow eyes. And I was like, okay, let's be a little critical here. Are you sure that those aren't just reflections of street lights from the other side? Like, No, I know what the other side of these trees looks like, and that those are not streetlights. For one, they're way too high up, and they're precise. You know those laser gun sights that they have on like rifles and stuff, that if you see them coming through a tree, it's just a pinpoint of laser.
Oh, okay.
It was that precise where it wasn't coming from like a street lamp or anything like that. So basically, I hit that part, and I was just like, yeah, we're turning around and going back now. And over the next, I think, year or so, there were a couple times where I was like, I want to see if that still is the same thing. And I would walk down there, and it like, yeah, still very much there, still very strong. And these, whatever I'm feeling from that area is not happy and just very negative. I think I even took my friend down there one time. He's like, yeah, not the greatest thing to go across the bridge now. So when you ask, have I ever felt that paranormal, otherworldly, whatever, I was like, yeah, that's probably the biggest example for me. I don't know if they were ghosts. I don't think they were, but for the whole ghost thing, almost all the time when I walk into a house or someplace, you get a feel of the energy of the people who live there. And then every so often, it's just like walking around. You get a very good contrast of, okay, this is the energy of the people who live here. Oh, this is a different energy. This is a different feeling over here. Huh. Okay, is it the people that lived here before? Or like, no, this is just a resident energy that is not the same as the people that are occupying here. Oh, okay, that must be a ghost or some kind of energy like that, some kind of disembodied entity. And so I haven't had a lot of experience meeting ghosts or anything. With one of my meetup groups, we did go out to a mansion in Shelton. Is that right?
Meeker Mansion?
Yeah. I,
Okay.
no, was it Meeker Mansion? It might have been Meeker Mansion. I'm not sure.
Oh, in Shelton?
Yeah.
That's not Meeker. I don't
I
know
don't think it's I don't
what
think it's the
mansion's
Meeker,
out
but
in Shelton.
it was way out there, and they're just finished doing a little bit of a renovation, minor, extremely minor renovation. And we sat out there for a night, and we had a guy who does channeling there. We had a little bit of some cameras going on, and we had a couple of minor experiences that were kind of interesting. Batteries that were fully charged, going out completely, like really fast. Like, this should be a 5 hour battery. It's going out after 45 minutes.
Yeah, my understanding is that at least the guys at the Psychic Development Circle will say that that ghosts are very good with manipulating electronic devices or things that have to do with electricity.
For me personally, there wasn't a lot that happened that night that was interesting or anything, except I will tell you, we were sitting around, we'd done all the recording, or we're just sitting around like, hey, we're just talking. It's been a few hours. We're just going to sit back and chill for a little while. And then I think, I can't remember, somebody said something like, ooh, that'll piss them off. And as soon as somebody said that, all the power in the house just popped. And it wasn't just it didn't just go, oh, power's off. And I was like, and I was like, oh, okay. And everyone was kind of sitting there, okay, flashlights come on, and like, that was kind of interesting. Yeah, all right then.
Yeah.
So how about you? Have you had any experiences or anything with dearly departed?
We had some mischievous, malintended. I don't know if I told you about that. The guy I was roommating with a guy. This was back when I was, I think it was 19 or 20. That's right, I was 19. He was 20. I was 19. We were roommates, and we lived in this set of apartments, and things would always get misplaced. But they were things that we really needed. His wallet got misplaced. And it turned up underneath the bathroom sink. You know those little vanities with little cupboards in
Oh
front?
wow, yeah.
Under the sink there.
Oh
That's where
goodness.
it turned up, of all places. I didn't put it there. Nobody put it there. I'm sure of it. He had left it in one of his pockets from pants that he'd worn the day before, and he went to get it out of the pants, and they were gone. the wallet was gone. He looked for days for this wallet, and he was just freaking out because he couldn't find the wallet. And then we had a set of keys that we were down a set of keys for some reason. We had to share keys back and forth to get in the house. And we were trying to share these keys back and forth, and the key went missing.
Mm.
And I'm not really a lose my temper kind of guy, but the two of us were screaming at each other, and we were like moments away from throwing punches. We were really heated about who lost this key and who was responsible for it. And then the key turned up in some bizarre place that didn't make any sense, like in a cup or something. I don't remember where, but it was something that didn't make any sense. But there was all these things that kept happening that really kept annoying and frustrating us. And as I look back on it, there was just a really weird, heavy feeling in that particular apartment building. Mm-hmm. And the people that were drawn to the apartment building were just kind of odd people. And actually, whether this has anything to do with it or not, I think it kind of all kind of knits together. One apartment manager had moved out and another one had moved in. And one of the tenants had stabbed this woman to death.
Oh, wow.
In front of her little girl. And yeah, of course, there was a mass exodus in the apartments when that happens. But it was just a weird, eerie feeling. It was a really weird, eerie feeling. I don't think cemeteries and graveyards are haunted personally. Why would they want to hang out there? But it was right next to a graveyard, and it makes me kind of wonder. And then I know I've told it on another episode, Jackie's ghost experience at the first house that we lived in together that we rented, that was turn-of-the-century house, where I was out of town. And I think that when we're a little bit more, when our senses are just a little bit more heightened, mm-hmm. and her senses were heightened because she was in this house by herself and I was out of town. I think that's why at night we tend to see more ghosts than in the day and stuff like that, because our senses get a little more heightened, kind of the animal side of us trying to be wary, you know, at night. And she said she always felt cold air brushed by her all the time, especially in a specific spot of the house. And she was upstairs ironing, and this cold air brushed by her. And she thought that was kind of weird. And then she got a sense that somebody was downstairs. So she went downstairs to check. It was weird. She said she didn't know why. She just said someone was downstairs. She went downstairs and she turns into the kitchen. She faces the kitchen. There's a little entryway. And there's a man standing there. She said, like looking at your brother or something, Neither of us have brothers, so looking at your sister, we'll say that. And but this man was standing there, and he had this kind of turn-of-the-century garb, and he had this long black coat, you know, and the hat, you know, from the day. And he looked at her, kind of nodded, and he walked past her and then walked into the bathroom, because the bathroom was kind of, you know, at a right angle to the kitchen. Huh. And she turns, walks into the bathroom, or turns to look to the bathroom, and of course there's no one there. So
oh wow.
Yeah, she was really freaked out. It was trippy to her. So
yeah, I remember you, I don't know what other episode that was, but yeah, I remember you telling that before, and I was like, yeah, every time you tell it, it's still kind of like, ooh, yeah, you get a little bit of goosebumpies, just like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, that was trippy. I mean, it was never, there was nothing malevolent in the right. house. It just was, you know, cats would stare at things, you know, for no reason. Cats are kind of funny. I think they see them. Dogs do, too.
Oh, every cat that I've hung around for any length of time has always stared at the wall for at one point or another. And various places, you know, it's like, okay, we're way down here in this geography or this place, and the cats are, you know, it's like, oh, apparently they're watching a bug or they're looking at something on the wall. Okay, now a few years later, we're in a completely different geographic location, and we have another cat, and they're looking at the walls too, and okay, so, crazy cats.
You know, I do have a theory that, sometimes you get negative energy hanging around places that isn't necessarily related to a non-corporeal being, mm-hmm. or like a disembodied entity, like you said. I do believe that sometimes places and objects can just collect energy, and that energy can start to kind of make you feel odd. You know, like if a couple lived in a house and the couple argued constantly and fought constantly, or there was some level of domestic violence and they moved later, even if they're still alive or whether they're not, I think that negative energy can be there. And sometimes I think people think that's ghosts, but I think it's just the negative energy that is there that just hasn't been dispelled.
That's why you always cleanse and bless the house before you move, or an apartment whenever you first move in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like giving a whole shower to the place. Like, okay, anyone that was here before, your negative energy or your whatever is now moved on. And talking just about that, my parents, about a year and a half ago, left Washington. I got to say Washington State. I'm really right. Getting in the habit there. It was interesting because we got all new tile in the living room and the breakfast nook. And I'll tell you, David, that house felt like the house that I was hanging out in, for a few years until that new tile was down. The moment that tile was down, it was no longer the house. It was completely different. And helping them clean out, get everything as nice and everything for to be shown to people, I spent a few hours in there where it's just like, okay, there's nothing in the house except what we brought in to do some cleaning. The house just totally felt completely different. So it's weird how you can make one little change and the whole feeling of the place just changed completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a case even on smaller scales where you get that energy that kind of does that. Like, I think it depends on the person, but for me, when I'll go into different classrooms and I'll work at different people's computers, and invariably there'll be the computers that are very type A, that everything's at a right angle to itself and in parallel lines. And, the OCD police have been there. And then there's the people who it's just this crazy amount of chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my energy shifts depending on what desk I'm at. And I could feel, I could close my eyes and feel the chaos on those desks that are just jumbled up and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true that there are a lot of clutter, not just mess, but clutter collects energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people realize that energy flows and moves. And even though you can't see it or really put your hand against it or any of that, it just flows and moves kind of like air does in a way. But it's not like air where it can settle on things and get trapped. And you ever been in a person's house and they have knickknacks everywhere, but there's for some reason you're just not comfortable?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For me, that's like, okay, they have tons of knickknacks everywhere, but they hardly ever touch them, and they've just been stagnant and just been, sitting there.
Exactly.
They've been there for who knows how long, and they're like almost monuments or shrines or something.
Jackie and I, when we were house hunting, the first time we bought a house together, we went into one of the houses, and there were figurines of clowns everywhere. There were clowns. If there was a horizontal surface, there was something with a clown on it.
Oh.
On that surface. There was a clown on every square inch of space in this house. There was no place available to set anything down because there was a clown there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I forget the phobia associated with clowns, and I don't have it. My friend does, but I don't have it. But I wanted to get out of there. I'm just like, I can't be in here. This is just too much. And too many clowns. Too many. It was just weird.
These clowns drive me crazy.
Yeah. The clowns drove me crazy. And I'm like, really? You don't want to sell the house? So,
yeah. You would think that'd be more of a common sense where you want to downgrade so much your impression or your display of who you are when you're trying to sell a house. And
yeah,
I mean, there are people whose houses I've gone into where, like what you said, it's just like they may have lived there for 20 years, and the moment you walk in, you get a very distinct feeling like, oh, now I know what this person feels like on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just like, oh, now I've seen this show.
Have you heard the idea, speaking of objects and stuff like that, have you heard the idea that ghosts can kind of tether or nest themselves in objects like dolls and things like that?
Oh, that's one I very rarely ever pay attention to or heard.
Yeah.
But yes, I have heard that, but I haven't looked into it much or anything like that.
They almost ascribe it to more to entities than ghosts,
Gotcha.
you know. And how do you divide one from another? I mean, it's kind of gets weird, I think, when you're talking about
My hair
energies.
clip is possessed.
Well, I mean, and the other thing too is that sometimes things come into your house that are not necessarily ghosts in the traditional sense. Some guy that, you know, didn't want to leave his favorite lazy boy or something, and you know, not the, I mean, there's also the idea of portals that are created that entities walk through from different dimensions and just kind of hang out there and really.
The cake is a lie.
The cake is a lie. Oh, isn't that from a video game called Portal or something like that?
Exactly,
Okay.
exactly.
Yeah, I only that's all I know about it.
I've never played Portal, but I know enough to know that meme, and I was like, you're like, when you said portals, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get some geek credit for the younger generation right
Oh, there you go.
now. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. 10 more of those and I get a free what do I get a free of? I
Something geeky.
don't know. Yeah, I get a free USB connector or something, something. I don't
In
know.
the shape of Sulu's head or something,
But... Oh my.
So, yeah.
Like William Shatner's acting career. Oh goodness, now you got me going off on this whole thing. Anyway. Come back to the topic. Come back to the topic. Recenter.
Yeah, I came across that recently. I don't know where, but I thought it was pretty interesting, that idea. That they can do that. I mean, I figure if you could put Reiki into objects, if you can create charms with objects, why not?
Yeah, for a lot of people who follow the pagan religion or Wiccan religion, you know, you basically, well, one way to phrase it is you enchant your magical tools. And you basically put your energy into them by various means, depending on what tradition you're following and, you know, what belief system in that tradition you're following. That makes a lot of sense. And it was very interesting when you were talking about computers, because it's amazing where you can actually feel the person's energy on a computer, and most people wouldn't expect to, you know,
Was I talking about computers?
yeah, from your work when you're going and sitting down at a person's desk, and some of them were felt cluttered, and some of them felt more OCD.
Oh, okay.
And there, you know, every so often, I'm at a friend's house, and I sit down at their computer to do some minor tech support or whatnot. And it's very interesting because you kind of know your friend from, you know, when they're not on the computer, from hanging out, from socializing. And then you sit down at their computer, you realize, oh yeah, this is what's actually going on, you know, in their mind. This is, you can actually tell a lot about a person just by looking at their desktop and then looking at their stuff. And I've never actually seen a computer of anyone that has passed on. I'm getting the feeling, and I'm going to just throw it out there, that if you are able to see that, that's actually kind of like grabbing a picture of how they thought, not what they thought per se. Kind of like if someone's really into painting, you see all their paint, but you don't see anything that they've actually painted.
Okay.
So, and I've actually heard from friends over the years where, now that we're in a more technologically advanced, or I'm not going to say advanced, we have more technology around, and we have for a number of years. I think it was a few years ago, and one of my friends had said that their mother had passed on. And like 3 months later, they got a text message from their mother's cell phone number, and so, and there wasn't any message or anything. It was just a call and a receiving call. They were like, okay, the phone's been deactivated. Has the number been moved to somewhere else? And that's just being called. And they actually were so curious about it, they went in and talked to the cell phone company and talked to the regular phone company to see if this number had gone into active service again. And it's like, nope, it's not currently active at all. basically my friend was saying, you know, I've decided to just see that as my mother saying, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, that's very common. My nephew has done that time and time again, sent messages to say how he was doing. I'll put it in the show notes, I think, but the weirdest one was a CAPTCHA. His mother created a Facebook page for him, and you know when you have to get a new Facebook account, they make you do the CAPTCHA
thing,
you know? But there was something that was in there that was just like, well, yeah, this is definitely from him. It's unmistakable. Mm. And I don't recall what it was, but I'll try to explain it in the show notes. My show notes are usually pretty brief, but I think I'll put something at length in there for that. Plus, it's a good nod to him because, you know, he's such an awesome guy.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't see those as ghost stories. I just see that as communication from the other side. I think that's completely different. Because I think when you're from the other side, again, you understand a little bit how you're connected to everything, and then you begin to understand how to work it. And I think that's why ghosts have a lot more trouble communicating with us than people from the other side. Because when you do understand how integrally connected you are with everything else, then you can do things like manipulate things in very interesting and strange ways to get a message to somebody. But if you're a ghost, you know, you can, but I think you're more limited because you're still relating to a, you know, corporeal body. I think there's also another level of somebody being attached to someone that's not necessarily like a haunting of a place. I think it's more when somebody's attached to a person who's like very grief-stricken and they can't seem to really completely cross over. I think sometimes that I don't know, I'm kind of gray on if they're crossed over or if they're not crossed over, but that they're just kind of hanging on, that they can't really, like you said, your grandmother had other things to do, you know. That these people can't continue on with their spiritual growth while a person is so intensely distraught over the loss of someone for years upon years that they can't let go. It tethers the person who's deceased to the intensely grieving, long-term grieving person.
Oh, like in The Lovely Bones.
Like in The Lovely Bones. That's actually a pretty good example of that.
And yeah. I've actually finally seen that movie now.
I don't know what the book is like in comparison, but yeah.
I remember when you first mentioned that last year, like, I haven't seen that movie yet, David. Don't ruin it for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hopefully the references made sense.
Oh, yeah. Really good movie. I see where you're talking about it now, and I was just like, yeah, okay. So, you know, the more that the living pine for the deceased, you know, it can hold the deceased, or at least a part of the deceased's spirit, tethered to, you know, this mortal plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think every so often it's like, yeah, okay, time is a lot different for us here, so a few years for you might be like a blink of an eye for me, but I'm ready to go now. So thanks for visiting. Thanks for remembering me. See you later.
Right,
go.
Exactly.
Move on, please.
Right. I think in a spirit form, you just find yourself pulled to that. You know, you pulled and pulled and pulled because I think they do have choices, but at the same time, there's almost like a, I don't know, it's like a tethering of some sort. It's kind of like when people have energy cords tied to each other.
Yeah. And then, of course, if it's like family or a good friend or something like that where, you know, you want to be nice to them, you want to show them common courtesy. You don't want to feel like you're being, you know, mean like, geez, just leave me alone, man.
I think it's more than just a common courtesy thing. I think it's just your emotional attachment and the love and the compassion you have for the grieving person pulls you there because you realize how much energy and creativity is in love and compassion. And so I just think you find yourself there as a result of that because you're operating on that. Because again, love is more magnetic, and the lack of it, the indifference to love, is, you know, where the separation is created, like we talked about in, I think, Good versus Evil episode or something like that.
So what would be your final summation on the difference between those that have passed on and moved on into the light and are you know, basically coming back for a visit, and those that are basically have not moved into the light but are still here.
Well, I think the ones that have not moved into the light, they're either stuck to moving in the light, but they just don't want to for one reason or another, either because they're afraid of what's on the light and afraid of the judgment that they're going to get or where they might end up, or just because there's something so compelling in the earthly plane that they just don't want to leave it. They just don't want to be away from it. Sometimes it's a house. Sometimes it's a person. Sometimes it's a possession. And I think it often takes either a tremendous amount of earth time, physical time, for the energy to fade away to, you know, where they don't get energized, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What I was talking about?
Recharge.
I think it takes the recharge, yeah, the physical connection, to where they can't even hold on to the memory anymore because just, you know, the soul just, light just, it just has a way of pulling. I think enough time will pass. What in our terms would be centuries, but that's my guess. I'm just making a close approximation because you can't try to use those terms for somebody on the other side. But I think it would be the equivalent of that for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or they've just got to be convinced that there's a good reason for them to either cross into the light or not. I mean, there are people who a lot of times I think people can call on angels to help people cross. It doesn't always work, but it has. Or you just give them a compelling reason. There's just sometimes you just shout them out. Where you demand and insist that they leave and you lay claim to your place because they feel like it's their place. Why should they leave? And it's like if somebody is squatting on your private property, you know, you have to basically convince them that they do not belong there. I mean, if they don't see any merit in what you have to say, then they're not going to leave. But you can make a strong enough case and get them to leave. But that's not the same as getting them to cross. I think that takes some assistance, and there are people who can do that and who do it. And I think it does a lot of good for a ghost to be able to cross. It's a huge healing for them, but it takes a lot of help. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of, you know, things to really kind of try to move that energy. And they have to, but the bottom line is they have to go. They will not go unless they want to. It's still free choice.
I just thought of a question that I want to run by you. If a ghost is, you know, hanging around and everything, do you think that they are always able to see the light? Or do you think they're only able to see light when their attention is drawn to it?
I think it's the latter. I think that there is, I think they just won't look at it, you know. They won't look at the light. I always think of, there's a painting I saw called Empire of Light by Max Ernst. It's a very, very dimly dark lit street. And there's one little kind of street light on it. You know, those old fashioned black street lights on it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's almost like that for them. It's just so dim and it's not a consideration. In fact, that's what is said, is that 3 days that they're hanging out, the light's there. It's just waiting for them to wrap up their business and affairs and then eventually get pulled to it. Oh, you know what? The people in my group were saying that one of the things you could do is you can try to coax them into visiting hospitals, having the ghosts go to the hospitals, and I think also funeral homes. The light is there because there's a lot of people in hospitals and funeral homes that are going to the light at those places. So it's very easy. It's much easier for them to find the light where it tends to be residing on a regular basis, where people are constantly crossing over.
A constant open door.
yeah, exactly. So I thought that was interesting. So I do think it's there. I just don't think they are aware of it. I think when they just ignore it, it just ceases to be apparent to them. I think it's there, but to them it's not because they don't see it. You have to actually kind of get them to see it, welcome it, and then because I guess it fades over time.
Yeah. It goes from a shining lighthouse to just a little flicker from a pen light or something like that.
Exactly.
Like an itty-bitty flashlight. Or not even a flashlight, an LED, like on a remote control.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Well, this has been our Halloween special for 2011, and we thank you for listening. If this is your first time listening, we hope you've enjoyed it. If you're a longtime listener, we hope we are keeping the status quo and keeping you entertained. So for TakeTheRedPill.com, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you a spooky Halloween.
And this is David Deere. Keep the lights on and don't be afraid of the dark.